Only in Jeff Styles America.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to FredPodcast.com or JeffStylesAmerica.com or any of the various launch engines for podcasts around this great globe of ours, the third rock from the sun, the little blue planet that could. My name is Jeff Styles, Spo the Y, and I am now back on the radio. Thank you very much. Nuga Radio. Go to NugaRadio.com. After 25 years of doing talk radio, it's nice to be back in the saddle and talking to people on a regular basis. But the podcast is the thing that I guess I was pushed, pulled, prompted, probed, poked, and everything, all the other P words, into going into the world of podcasting while I was sort of down and out because of an incident that took place back in midsummer, and I lost my gig. And I've enjoyed doing it ever since. Now, I had sort of a pattern that I was going by, but because of the remarkable series of events that have taken place here of late, I've gotten out of that pattern a little bit. I had charges actually filed against me, which never should have been done. They were completely politically motivated, and everybody who has a brain cell that is still operative in this area knows that to be true. They were dropped because the DA is a smart man and knew that he was not going to be able to win, and he was a friend of mine anyway. There were other people inside the administration that were not so friendly. The Chattanooga Police Department, Hamilton County Sheriff's Department, had nothing to do with it, just a couple of individuals. But they got dropped, so things got busy. I suddenly got a job, I got a new vehicle, which was nice since I had a job, and things have just been flying by. Now, of course, it's been the holidays, so I'm going to get back to the standard sort of, I guess, you know, archetype or my construct for doing the podcast after New Year's Day, which is coming up. By the time you hear this, it might already well have been passed, but probably the week after that, I'll get back to the way I wanted to do this podcast. FredPodcast.com. Thank you for listening. That is based on my old radio show and the second hour of my new two-hour gig at aforementioned NugaRadio.com. And they do streaming audio. They also do Facebook Live. And I am going to go ahead and put one little disclaimer out there. The Facebook thing, most of us are in radio as opposed to television or film for a reason. So don't be disappointed if you tune in and you see some sort of hairy, brutish man standing there, not unlike Jeremiah Johnson on a really bad hair day. And that's what you're going to find out. And I just want to remind everybody that even though you're watching Facebook Live, you're listening to radio. Special thanks, advertisers and supporters, for this podcast going out to, I'm going to go ahead and give it to them first this time, People's Home Equity, where I'm actually doing the podcast from. They have a little podcast central here, a little central pod area, and a lot of people do their work here. But People's Home Equity here in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, if you're in a, you know, the home market, you need to give them a ring or go to their website. Probably be the best thing to do is chatmortgage.com, two T's, chatmortgage.com. And also my two most loyal advertisers and supporters in the world of business, and that would be Robin Ring, spelled with a Y, and she has the new business, rc2realtysolutions.com, rc2realtysolutions.com. She used to be in the property management business and was the landlady to the world, and she now is actually trying to kind of refocus and dealing with distressed properties. We're going to be talking about some distressed properties here in a minute. Go to their email address, info@rc2realtysolutions.com. If you have any desire to invest or divest in this tri-state area around the Chattanooga, Tennessee, the southeastern corner of Tennessee, because nobody's going to do you better than Robin. The other one is Tim Kelly and Kelly Subaru, kellysubaru.com. And the Kelly name has hung high over an automotive business of some kind down at Riverfront and MLK for decades. And Subaru is just a massively competent vehicle and a name brand that I trust completely. They also have a big lot of certified pre-owned vehicles. And you don't find used Subarus very often, but if you're looking for one, you'll probably do the best job for yourself by checking there first. KellySubaru.com, and to Tim and his whole staff over there.
Only in Jeff Styles America.
Thank you very much. Now, as I mentioned, we are coming up on New Year's 2018, one of the worst years for me personally. I think I will go so far as to saying I'm 58 years old, and it was the single worst year I've ever had. I've already, you know, talked about the reason. It was just an incident that shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have gone any further than just some sort of, you know, brief irritation on the highway. But it was a road rage incident that actually cost me my career, 25 years in talk radio. Now, I'm making a comeback. Don't get it confused. And I believe that there is, you know, God's hand is involved. And so many people have been so supportive, and I appreciate it very much. And I even got my property back this week that had been kept, even though the charges had been dropped weeks ago. I got several things back that were, you know, taken from me. And they were the nicest people in the world down there at the property division. But to hell with 2018. I thought 2016 sucked. I remember when John Oliver did this huge explosion with his massive 2016 on his set on This Week Tonight with John Oliver. And I was going, I'm glad to see that year gone too. 2016 is my favorite year now in comparison to 2018. It's just been just a pressure cooker for all of us. So my last two podcasts, Thanksgiving, I gave five good examples, the best five stories I could come up with on very short notice. I never know, you know, that I'm actually supposed to do at least one podcast a week. Somebody always reminds me, have you done one this week? I went, oh my God. And I've got like 20 minutes to get it done. And so I came up with the top five reasons I should have already been dead. And it was going into Thanksgiving, and I was feeling especially grateful because of having the charges dropped and expunged and basically being proven to be right. And my former, you know, owners of the radio station I used to work for are essentially boneheads, and they made a corporate, cowardly, lose-lose decision that they are suffering more now, at this very moment, more than I am. So, yay for me. Fuck them.
And, only in Jeff Styles, America.
And then, of course, there's other things that have happened as well. But this is what I want to get down to. The Christmas one, by the way, Thanksgiving thing, that was, I was grateful not to be dead so I can enjoy another Thanksgiving. The Christmas one was about Christmas magic and all the cool things that happen around Christmas and Christmas magic and the belief and just the special spiritual aura that exists around that time of year. And so I've been thankful and I've been grateful and I have been high-minded and I've been really thinking just as best I can about the higher and better angels of our nature. So let me get back down to something I'm more used to, which is death and the desolation and negativity. As we come up on the new year, I'm actually very nervous because I thought 2016 sucked, 2018 sucked worse. I don't know about 2019. I've sent many messages out there on my radio show, on the podcast, just to individual folks. And I've said, I think it's going to be a much better year. And I really do in my heart of hearts, but I've been proven I don't know what the hell is going on. I have absolutely no crystal ball, no magic mirror, and it could be worse. I'm a little bit nervous about New Year's Eve, I think, as most people are these days, considering the nutsoid factor that we have among, you know, our own race. Homo sapiens, the human beings on this planet have gone just completely nuts. It's not even terrorism anymore, you know, from some sort of foreign nation or ideology. It's just homegrown nutcases. Completely, yeah, you know, totally off their wig, off the track, and you know they're heavily armed and they do all kinds of damage. And I hope to God that this New Year's Eve and this New Year's Day come up right and everything goes the way it's supposed to go, and the Georgia Bulldogs win and the Ohio State Buckeyes win. You know, it's again, you know, it's hard to be super happy, 100% happy and satisfied when the Alabama Crimson Tide are still the number one, you know, team in the nation. And God, God blessed Alabama with so many gifts, and the people screwed it up so bad over the last 400 years that he had to at least give them a football team that would win, you know? I mean, just to give them something to hang on to. So, the signs of the apocalypse.
Tell me who's that right? John the Revelator, who's that writing? John the Revelator, who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals.
I'm not known to be a religious man. I like to think that I'm a very spiritual man. I'm a believer. But the seven signs of the apocalypse is really what I should say. Depending on where you go, which book in the Bible, who you're reading, what condensed version and how the translation went, it kind of changes as you look at it. But everybody knows about the seven signs of the apocalypse right now. So we're going to go and take a look at some of the current events happening in our world and our nation today. Some of them are going to be closer to my heart. Some of them are going to be very general. And I'm going to make an argument that this could be the year. This could be the year. Now, Jesus himself, the Nazarene, the carpenter, said that you will not know. He will come like a thief in the night. And we're talking about the second coming. We're talking about Revelations. We're talking about Ragnarok. We're talking about the end of the world as we know it. And I'm going to trust the Naz before I trust any of the preachers out there today. But, you know, if you look at what they say is going to happen, there's a whole lot of things going on. All right, so they break the seal, right? The seal is broken. And the first thing that pops out of this magic book of damnation and hell and coming doom and torture is the four horsemen. The four horsemen, depending again on which translation you read, it's either conquest or pestilence. It is starvation, famine, not quite the same thing. Death is definitely a big one, and war. And then the wrath of God comes later, and the trumpeters come later. We'll talk about those guys. But the four horsemen, let's just go ahead and say it's conquest.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
I have one word with two uppercase letters contained within it. Facebook. Do I need to say any more? Facebook rules the world. Everybody is on it. You will be hearing this podcast. You will be seeing this podcast promoted on Facebook. And Facebook is not exactly operating within the rules of polite society. And the owner of Facebook, a known egomaniacal, self-interested, narcissistic bastard, has testified in front of Congress again and again and has basically made promises that he hasn't followed through on. Facebook is, in its own way, kind of a pestilence, in my opinion. Now, let's just go ahead and say, instead of conquest, let's go with pestilence, all right? Yellow ladybugs. I don't know what they really are, because to be a ladybug, they have to be red. But in our neck of the woods, we get swarmed by these things every year in the late fall and early winter. And they don't do anything. They don't bite. They don't even buzz you. They basically just wrap up against the window until they die and leave their little yellow ladybug-looking husks behind, which we have to sweep up and vacuum up. And they get all over the clothes you got, you know, basically stacked up that are clean. And the dogs get them in their hair. And you just, I'm sick of them. I truly am. So I think just that in itself is a sign. This has been the worst year for whatever these little things are called, the yellow ladybugs. So personally, I'm taking that as a sign that pestilence is on the way. And also, I guess we could probably look at the massive explosion of opiate addiction and the deaths that have resulted from it. And do not get confused or be mistaken for any nanosecond. Every single pharmaceutical company that produces them have an acceptable level of loss. It could be 20,000, 40,000 overdoses per year, and they think that's okay. They keep cranking them out. I was looking just the other day at this new study. We had one study that came out, and it said that opiates really weren't overprescribed at all. America was in pain. And it turned out to be that study was completely paid for by the opiate industry. And then we had another one come out the other day, and they were looking at women and their postpartum depression and the link to opiate addiction. And they were stunned. They were shocked because they were thinking that the cesarean section, the C-section method of giving birth was more painful. So therefore, they probably got more, you know, painkillers, more opiates prescribed to them. So therefore, the number should be higher. But guess what? They were equal, whether it was natural childbirth or C-section. This was on the front page of our own local paper here. And I'm like going, gee whiz, I guess what the common, you know, denominator here, the common factor, the thing that every single opiate addict, a woman who's just given birth, has, is the fact that they were prescribed to her. I think that is the main ingredient we should look at. And I can save them a whole bunch of money in further studies. If you prescribe them to people, they're more likely to get addicted to them. That's just all I want to say. And if you have not seen, by the way, my favorite singer-songwriter of all time, John Prine, released a new album this year. And he has been through a lot of crap in his life, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of pain. I remember when he had cancer of the vocal cords and throat cancer. And his very first concert that he gave was here in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the Tivoli Theater. And his entire family was there on the front row. And I actually rode the elevator with John Prine, just a hero of mine. And I, you know, utilized my, you know, solid rule, do not geek out whenever you meet a hero of yours. I didn't say anything to him, but he got out there and he sang. He forgot a couple of lyrics to his own songs. Luckily, the entire audience, 1,300 strong, knew every lyric to every song, so they would start singing, and he would say thank you and continue. His latest video was a song that he wrote with Pat McLaughlin in Nashville, and they did it on Meatloaf Night at the place where they would go and do the singer-songwriters roundtable, and they said they always try to get a song put in before they started serving the meatloaf, and it's called Summer's End. And if you will look at that official video and you do not cry tears, bitter tears, it's one of the most sweet and sad things I've ever seen in my entire life. And it is extremely effective in getting across the impact of opiate addiction in our neck of the woods. Now, starvation, famine. Starvation is when you're hungry and you're dying of hunger. Famine is when some other nation or group of people are starving and dying of hunger. And it's usually because of some screw-up that we've made as human beings, but not always. I'm going to go ahead and keep this one very personal. Right now, I've got a dog who in the middle of, you know, the beginning of winter here, when the weather's been cold, suddenly has broken down with a case of worms. Something's wrong with that. I have no idea how that happened. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that into the famine situation, because now I've got to get them all dewormed and stuff. And usually that happens in the summertime when you got a bunch of bugs flying around, flies. We also have a deer wasting disease in the United States, for those of you listening outside of the United States. And the reason that we have a deer wasting disease, it's not unlike mad cow, with the exception that it has so far not come out of the, I believe it is the cervid family. If I'm not mistaken, cervid family, which would be elk, antelope, moose, every kind of deer, caribou, things of this nature. And you can't get it from eating the meat. But the reason is because we've allowed such an absolute overpopulation of them. Because fathers, grandfathers didn't teach fathers, fathers didn't teach sons over the last several generations, or daughters, how to hunt. Or, you know, they taught them, as I did, and then the sons just chose not to hunt. And I understand that perfectly well. But the people out there who are tree huggers, bunny huggers, I mean, people who believe that their pets are fur babies and things of this nature, I have no problem with animal lovers. I love animals. I am an outdoorsman. I'm an outdoor enthusiast. I don't think that wild animals should be named. I don't think they should be kept as a general rule. But also, please don't insult both my dog and my child by saying that your dog is the equivalent to your child. The people that are saying that we should not hunt are the reason that we have such overpopulations of certain species, deer being one of them right now, and they're dying miserable deaths. There is no cure. So there's two of the four horsemen right there. Now, you want to talk about, oh, I don't know, death? Let's talk about death. We just had the third major tsunami in recent history, truly recent history. When you think about the tsunamis, I mean, there was one in 2000, 2004. Then there was one in 2011. And then we had another one in Indonesia, of course, just, I mean, a day before Christmas Eve again. And they seem to come at the same time. And it's Krakatoa. And it has been underground earthquakes. It has been all kinds of things. But, of course, this is all an area in the Ring of Fire. And the death toll, the last time I saw an official toll, was still had not even topped 1,000. If you have seen any of the video of the four waves of tsunamis that came crashing in on some of these remote coasts, Indonesia has more than 1,700 islands, and people were there celebrating Christmas. It is bound to skyrocket, and then, but we'll never know because those bodies are gone. There's one particular piece of video that actually is a number of Japanese tourists and business people, and they're staying in the sort of town hall, the chamber of commerce building for this little island, and it lasts about 15 minutes, and the first one seems pretty rugged, and it washes some boats away. The second one seems pretty bad, and it starts to begin to really rattle some of the outside areas, but they have this fence up, just like a hurricane fence with a black tarp over it. And I remember telling my friend who first showed it to me, and I was going, what do they think that's going to do? He goes, well, it's supposed to channel the water on downstream. I'm going, oh, yeah, that's going to work great. A hurricane fence with a black tarp around it. The third wave comes in, completely inundates that fence and washes the town away. And that one also is the one that you actually see the beginning of the really big curling waves in the distance that start completely just covering over the little islands and the isthmuses out there that had like the electric company and things like that on it. And by the time it's over, you can't recognize anything from where the video began in 15 minutes. This is an amazing thing. And, you know, when the Seven Seals describes these wrath of God disasters and death, it literally is talking about things like earthquakes and tsunamis. And Krakatoa. I mean, this is the same volcano that blew up in 1883 and completely sent the world, the entire world, into a kind of a nuclear winter. When Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, when she and her husband and a couple of other good buddies like Lord Byron were hanging up there and drinking wine and having orgies and stuff, and she wrote this incredibly horrific story that is so much better than any of the movie versions have ever made it to be, because it was the year without a summer. And we've seen our own nation, Mount St. Helens. We've seen, you know, the weather patterns change because of these massive eruptions. And I know a lot of people do not believe in global, you know, weather change or global climate change, and they point to the fact that the Earth does a much better job than we do. Well, yeah, it does. That doesn't mean we can't screw it up, I can promise you. Let's go ahead and let a total nuclear, you know, holocaust take place, and we'll go from there. Let's drop back real quick. War. Our president, Commander-in-Chief, Donald Trump, has taken our closest allies and pissed them off so completely that they want nothing to do with us. He took an enemy, in my opinion, probably the greatest enemy that America has had in my lifetime, if you don't count Russia in the Cold War, China, and of course it was embraced. It was given most favored nation trade status. And suddenly we had this global economy thing going, and we've got a Republican president and a Republican Senate, and we've got this powerful GOP and all of these, you know, industrialists and these huge corporate, you know, magnates, and they have been all about the global economy, and the president locks down trade with a bunch of different nations, China included, and it's somehow going to help us. Well, ask the Georgia pecan farmers if it's helped them. Ask the closed factories up in Michigan, the auto plant, you know, workers, where he actually made presidential campaign stops, if it's helped them. No, the Chinese get back to us has been amazing. Then you have, of course, the story about Jamal Ahmed Khashoggi, an American citizen, debatable. An American resident, yes. And three of his four children were American citizens. He was working for the Washington Post. He was a critic of the nation that was responsible for producing 9/11, Saudi Arabia. And our president just happens to be great friends with the Saudis, who bought a bunch of his yachts and buildings when he was really having some money problems. So he doesn't want to upset the global economy, and says maybe the crown prince knew about it. Maybe he didn't. Not that important. My God, what sort of world are we living in now? When the president of the free world doesn't care, when one of his own criticizing a nation that tried to destroy us is murdered brutally, and he says, well, he didn't want to do anything to create any ripples, bad ripples in the economy. And you can just go back to what I was talking about China and just, you know, moments ago, and see that he's not really all that concerned about ripples. He's concerned about himself. In my opinion, this particular president is the worst single president we've ever had, and history will show that he's even worse than I think he is now when it's all said and done. But to continue and embrace the Saudis is just a joke. It's a joke. And I guess one bright spot in the war, you know, category is that New York City did lift their ban on nunchucks. Now, anybody who grew up watching Bruce Lee movies, you know, probably at some point bought a pair of nunchucks and injured themselves. 95% of the time, it was a fierce crack to the forehead, or a forearm, or a knee, or a groin, but it was a self-injury. And that other 5%, unfortunately, would be little brothers, little sisters, friends who were standing nearby, and they just completely gave way, and they did not have any mastery of them, but they have been banned forever in New York, and they lifted the ban about 2 weeks ago. And I'm just looking forward to seeing kids hurting themselves again with some old-fashioned martial arts equipment. You know, get your head up out of those video games and go knock a knot on your head and learn something, for God's sakes. And if you look at the very last, the final seal, it is the trumpeters, the seven trumpeters who sound in, you know, this momentous occasion where the world will end, and maybe there's 1,000 years of war on the planet. Maybe the people will go up into the sky, into the heavens, and join God and Jesus, and they'll dance with the angels and everything else. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. But clearly, if you're talking trumpeters, you're talking music. And the seventh seal is the recent comeback of Rick Springfield. Raise your skirt and take off that pretty white blouse. There's nobody here but Springfield has made the most unlikely of comebacks. And if there was ever an artist that I could not understand one single syllable, one single note that he played that could be appreciated by somebody else, it would be Rick Springfield back during the 80s. He was on General Hospital. He did Jesse's Girl. He did a couple other tunes. And the girls just loved him. And he sold so many records. And he gets great respect among his peers. Other musicians really think he's the dude. But here's the funny part, is that I actually downloaded the new album, and it kicks ass. It's incredible. The older Rick Springfield is now playing this sort of, you know, sling it around yourself, stand up dobro, not quite a national guitar, but certainly a steel sound, and he's gone all voodoo. He's gone all New Orleans voodoo stuff. That's the single's called Voodoo House, and he's got a couple of albums out there, and it's slinky, and it's soulful, and it's sexy, and it's good. So if I can like a Rick Springfield song, and he's making a real comeback, folks, that's the seventh seal. Yeah, we're screwed, blued, and tattooed. That'll be the name of his new single. The hidden single, the B-side, off of Voodoo House. You wait and see. Screwed, blued, and tattooed. And you had to play it backwards. You wait and see. And that steel guitarist, this song, the voice of Satan, and come to the swamp, and we got alligators to eat you, and all this stuff. It's going to be incredible.
Only in Jeff Styles, America.
So there you go. a little brightness in your day. The fact that we probably are looking at a total universal collapse because the wrath of God, the hand of God, has decided to finally come down on us, and the seven seals have all been ripped open, from ladybugs to the idiot president to dogs having worms to the killing of Khashoggi to Rick Springfield. I think I've covered it all. Jeff Stiles, FredPodcast.com, FredPodcast.com. Special thanks go out to new subscribers, especially Clay Acob. Clay Acob was a former coworker of mine years ago, and he was a good friend. We don't see each other very often anymore. He has been listening dutifully down in Orlando, and he actually became a lifetime member. We're just asking for like $4, $5, $6 a month from people who actually enjoy this spiel or spew that I do. And there are different levels, and when you actually up your giving, you actually get some extra stuff on the side. I actually do have some talents. I have a few skill sets, and you might enjoy some of the written material or some of the videos that I produce as I get out and go on my adventures with my GoPro camera and things of this nature, or just little insights into things happening in the world. But thank you very much again to all of my friends, especially my biggest supporters and advertisers, RC2 Realty Solutions, Robin Ring. Recently went through a health scare. She's doing okay. info@rc2realtysolutions.com. With all of the pestilence and the famine and the war, there's bound to be some distressed properties out there. So she'll keep working through all this, and she will take care of you if you have one of those. Kelly Subaru, kellysubaru.com. What could be more necessary in a time of the wrath of God coming down upon us and natural disasters than a high-quality, brand-new Subaru all-wheel drive vehicle that could get you and your family and your dogs and certain pieces of survival equipment away safely. So go to kellysubaru.com and talk to the sales folks and tell them I sent you and say you're looking for an apocalyptic-proof vehicle. And they'll hang up on you and then call up and just act like a normal person, and you'll get a really, really, really good deal. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Clay and all the rest of the folks out there who have actually subscribe to FredPodcast.com. And yes, I am waiting on one piece of information, one last piece of information, now that I have all my stuff back, for the third and final episode of The Story, at JeffStilesAmerica.com. At that point, we will switch things over and go back to your regular listening pleasures. Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
Only in Jeff Styles America.